The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, it's Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. I'm not on the ranch in South Dakota. Rather, I am in Washington, D.C. today with an incredible coalition of South Dakota legislators who are once again answering the call to defend and safeguard your private property rights. This matters not just in South Dakota, but across the nation. And South Dakota is leading the way in this effort and showing the pathway to getting real results. One of the big leaders in this movement is trusted, proven, and has a decade of success and a track record proving that he is in the fight with the landowners. John Hanson, Speaker of the House, the next governor of the state of South Dakota. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Amanda.
So we've had a busy couple days in Washington, D.C. We've been running hard in the midst of a busy campaign. You and Carla running for governor and lieutenant governor. You prioritize making this trip out to Washington, D.C. I guess briefly, just talk a little bit about what's going on and what called you to be here in this fight today.
Well, we've been fighting against this Green New Deal scam from the very beginning, and we're not going to quit fighting. And so really, we're out here in Washington, D.C. to continue to fight for landowner rights, for constitutional private property rights. You know, we had a huge win this last legislative session. The bill that was passed by Carla Lems and Mark Lobke to ban eminent domain for the carbon sequestration pipeline. Epic, big win for landowner rights in South Dakota. Well, as soon as we do that, we start hearing about a provision in the budget reconciliation bill out in Washington, where they want to take all of the work that was done for the landowners in our state and just override it with one federal bill. And so when we found out about that, we said, there's no way. There's no way we're going to let that happen. And so we started working hard to make sure that that provision was removed from the reconciliation bill in Washington. Fortunately, it was. We got it removed from the House version of the reconciliation bill. That reconciliation bill is now over in the Senate. And so one of the things we want to do is come out here and make sure, talk to our senators, talk to other people in Congress, make sure that that provision does not get put back in the reconciliation
bill. So we had a meeting with Majority Leader Thune and with Senator Mike Rounds today. We've been hustling into every office that will basically let us in their door to talk. I guess, what is your take home as this big, beautiful bill heads over to the Senate side? What's kind of the message you're hearing on the ground here in D.C.?
There is reason to be optimistic on that provision that was going to override our state's authority when it comes to the location of these pipelines. From what we're hearing from our conversations with Senator Thune and Senator Rounds, that provision is not going to find its way back in the Senate version of this bill. On the 45Q tax credit, however, I think there's still a lot of work to be done. The 45Q tax credit is the pot of gold at the end of all of this that's really at the root of all of the things that we've seen in South Dakota. The abuse of landowner rights, landowners getting sued, counties getting sued, PUC commissioners getting sued. All of the abuse that we've seen is all being funded by the 45Q tax credit at the end of the day, because that's the big taxpayer-funded pot of gold that they're chasing after. Unfortunately, it sounds like the 45Q tax credit has got some life. Boy, that's really disappointing to hear. So we're going to continue to work to completely end the Green New Deal scam. And the way we do that when it comes to this pipeline, this carbon sequestration Green New Deal pipeline, is to end the 45Q tax credit. That has to happen. And so we're going to continue to fight to do everything we can to make sure that 45Q tax credit is ended once and for all.
And, you know, I got to commend the landowners because you guys are engaged. You're paying attention. It is undoubtedly because you guys picked up the phone, you called, you emailed your representatives that language of giving eminent domain authority to the federal government on CO2 pipelines, that was removed. Today, we were out in the Capitol and we were hearing from these senators that the phones have been ringing. And so I want to encourage you guys, it does matter. They are hearing from you. I know even making this trip, John, I don't know about you, but I felt like, man, it's expensive. It's time consuming. We all have young families. It's hard to be out here. Yeah. Does it even make a difference? I guess, what would your message be to all the citizens back home? Does this actually matter and can they impact change?
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen it throughout this whole fight. The difference that your voice makes by reaching out to your representative or senator or congressman or senator out in Washington, it makes a huge, huge difference. Because I can tell you the pressure from the other side is immense. So the one thing that we can do is let our voice be heard. We want to end the Green New Deal scam. And we want fiscal responsibility again in the United States of America. And by ending the 45Q tax credit, it does both those things. We end the Green New Deal for carbon sequestration, and we restore a measure of fiscal sanity. Once again, we can't afford to be spending billions in federal tax credits just to put carbon in the ground. It's plant food. It should just go out into the air. But instead, we're going to waste billions of federal tax dollars on that? No. And it's all part of the Green New Deal scam. So please do let your voice be heard. Tell anybody that has a decision to be made on this issue, Senator Thune, Senator Rounds, Dusty Johnson, all of Congress, all of Washington, end the Green New Deal and restore fiscal sanity. We can do that by eliminating 45Q tax credit.
And isn't it interesting then that there's Republicans, and we see it in South Dakota too, there's this dynamic, like as long as there's money to be made, you know, this is something we're going to do. And they're bending to this agenda that carbon is an actual problem or that climate change is something we need to mitigate. I guess, what does being a conservative Republican mean to you? You talk a lot about ending the Green New Deal. You talk a lot about fiscal responsibility. I guess that was a big message we shared today, is that this is out of control spending. So I guess maybe talk a little bit about what you think the role of government is in situations, well, projects like this.
You know, first and foremost, it's about protecting our people's constitutional rights and not selling them out to the highest corporate bidder. And this is a perfect example of what can happen when you do just the opposite of that. Because what we've seen in South Dakota over the last 3 years is landowner rights, constitutional private property rights under attack because a for-profit company is coming in with a bunch of lobbyists and saying, we want to take your land and use it whether you like it or not. That's not conservative. That's not American. And so what we can do first and foremost is to stand up for our people's constitutional private property rights, not sell them out to lobbyists and big corporations.
Well, I appreciate your time. I know you have a flight to catch, John. I guess any parting words before I let you go? You got to go get souvenirs for the kids on the way back into the airport.
Right. We have our first souvenir, which is this wall drug.
Wall drug. Absolutely. Classic.
Souvenir. So, well, just like you were saying, Amanda, I would just encourage everybody to reach out to members of Congress to say, end the Green New Deal scam and restore fiscal sanity. The way to do that is to end the 45Q tax credit. And also, do make sure that when this reconciliation bill is worked its way through the Senate, that provision that's going to go and grab our authority as a state away from us, that doesn't make its way back in the Senate version of the reconciliation bill.
Well, thank you so much for your leadership on all of this, John. I know on behalf of the tens of thousands of landowners in South Dakota, as well as the, frankly, just people that are watching all across the nation that are seeing that South Dakota has actually gotten real tangible results in this issue to protect and safeguard private property rights. Just thank you so much for your selfless leadership, your commitment to the Constitution, and to doing what's right for the people of this great nation.
Same to you, Amanda. Thank you.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus, with its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract, BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
And we're back for another segment of the Heart of Rural America. I'm reporting to you live from Washington, D.C. It is day 3 here, boots on the ground as we fight for your private property rights and work to defund the Green New Deal. You've heard from Speaker of the House, John Hanson, and next up is Speaker Pro Tem Carla Lems, who is on the ticket with John Hanson to run as your next Lieutenant Governor of the state of South Dakota. Carla, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Amanda, for having me.
So Carla and I, quite literally, she's been tracking our steps. And yesterday, we did 20,000 steps here in Washington, D.C., in heels, by the way. And I think that deserves a medal all on its own. But we've literally been, you know, just burning rubber out here, going to back-to-back meetings. And I wanted to get a recap from Carla before we head to the airport to talk about those meetings, her thoughts. So I guess, Carla, tell us who we've all met with. I mean, tell the folks at home who we've met with, who we've talked to out here in D.C.
We had a whole list of people, and I won't mention all of them, but for a sampling for you all, we had met with Representative Chip Roy this morning. We met with Josh Burkeen, Mary Miller, Harriet Hageman, a representative from Thomas Massey's office met with us, as well as yesterday we were able to meet with both of the senators from South Dakota, Senator John Thune and Senator Mike Rounds, and we've had some great conversations.
So it's been interesting because one of the themes that we've heard over and over again as this coalition of South Dakota legislators and landowners have gone into these offices is that they've kind of heard of us.
Yes, they have. And all of you are aware of what happened in South Dakota with the CO2 pipeline and the bill that was brought this year, HB 1052, which myself and Senator Mark Lopke were able to bring forth and got passed in South Dakota and got it signed into law. Now, we saw in some of these meetings that we were at, Amanda, that the people were like, oh, yeah, we've heard about that bill. And in fact, one of the reasons that we came out to Washington, because we kind of thought we were done with this CO2 pipeline in our state. And more than that, it was, the overall arching theme of property rights in South Dakota that were again going to be under attack because of something that was put into the reconciliation bill on the House side, which ends up being the big, beautiful bill. And in many ways, it is a beautiful bill, but there are a few things in there that were concerning to us, including the federal preemption of the right for the federal government to basically use eminent domain for some of this Green New Deal scam, including the CO2 pipelines. And so obviously we know that that got taken out on the House side, but just wanted to make sure that there was no chance that this was going to be getting its way, making its way back into the Senate bill.
As an example, we were in Chip Roy's office, who's from Texas, and he knew about this bill in South Dakota. He really went swinging for us because he knew that this precedent of carbon sequestration pipelines is not just happening in South Dakota or Iowa or North Dakota. It's in Louisiana. It's in Oklahoma. It's in Texas. And he's not buying into the Green New Deal, but he said, he's like, it's because of the fight in South Dakota that we were very well aware of this and that he was willing to use quite a bit of political capital to make sure that that got out. And so really it's a kudos to the people at home for making this abundantly clear where Absolutely. We stand. And I guess, Carla, on the other side of things, that was a really good thing we heard over and over again. What was a little something else we heard?
Well, you know, we heard about some other states, too. One of our conversations, it was said that some of these states really are pushing this to be in the bill. And some of the states mentioned were Nebraska, North Dakota, and a big push from Iowa to have this in the bill. And the question was posed, are you talking about the delegation from Iowa? Or are you talking about the people of Iowa? Well, no, it's the delegation from Iowa that really wants this in the bill. And we know, Amanda, from working with a lot of legislators and citizens in the state of Iowa, that they are not in favor of this in the state of Iowa. So that tells me that there's a lot of politics that are going on behind the scenes that are pushing this forward and really wanting this, not only the preemption, but the 45Q tax credit itself.
Right. And I'm glad you brought the 45Q tax credit up. That was another message we came out here to share, that really this is funding the Green New Deal, that it is funding these boondoggles and it's not fiscally responsible. I mean, we have trillions of dollars in national debt and we're going to add even more to bury plant food. It's ridiculous. But what is kind of the sentiment that you're getting on that? I mean, is there any will from our Congress to do something about that tax credit?
Well, again, I think there are several in our Congress that would like to do that, but they do not have enough support. And they keep saying that the lobbyist's voice is very strong out here on that issue. They feel that, you know, there's been money invested in these things and they are entitled to your taxpayer dollars and mine. And again, until this 45Q tax credit is removed, I believe that this will still, I look at it as the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. The rainbow being our property that they need to get this project done, and the pot of gold being my tax dollars and yours that are going to pay for this. And so it's really important that the people in these states speak up. I think that that is the only way forward for us to actually make a dent in this 45Q tax credit, either getting it reduced dramatically or getting it removed altogether, which is really what should happen, because you and I know that this country is facing unprecedented debt that we are not going to be able to sustain and that my children, my grandchildren are going to be paying for many years to come. It's just not a wise use of taxpayer dollars, because the 45Q tax credit is wrapped up in a fake project. And we need to have people stand up across this state, and especially in these states that are affected by this project, and say, no, in fact, we need to reject this 45Q tax credit grift.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think it's worth noting, I just want to mention before I get to your next question, Carla, is these conversations we had on the Senate and the House really evolved to other issues. For me, this pipeline project really, and I know Carla agrees too, it comes down to the Constitution and your private property rights. And we see a theme, and you guys see a theme on this show over and over again, that we talk about private property rights. But that led us into conversations about mandatory EID in cattle. We talked about the focus on how cow farts are destroying the planet and how right now we're seeing the Angus Association get a $4.53 million grant from Jeff Bezos to study emissions in cattle. And while that's a private enterprise, it can also lead to the perpetuation of the AOC's Green New Deal, and we got to get rid of the cow farts. We see in Ireland with measuring the emissions of cattle, and of course, they have that mandatory ID. So we talked about that. We talked about packer monopolies and the different challenges facing the beef industry. We also talked about wind and solar. And I guess briefly, Carla, can you talk a little bit about what Representative Harriet Hageman said on the whole wind, solar, Green New Deal boondoggle?
Well, we know that wind and solar has really been scaled back, even defunded with some of what we're looking at in this bill. She said that the long-term prospects for wind and solar, the investment is just not there because of the uncertainty of the way forward. And of course, we know that this is not the best use of our tax dollars, because we have much more reliable sources of energy than wind and solar. In fact, coal is so much more reliable and cheaper, a cheaper form of energy for our United States of America. And we need to get back to what makes sense, what makes common sense. And that is why we, you know, Speaker John Hansen was on this trip with us. He had to go back yesterday, but we were able to make this trip to make sure that our voices were heard on this level in our nation's capital in Washington, because we thought that, again, some of these fights maybe were about ending for South Dakota, but obviously they were not. And so we need to make sure that the people continue to be heard on this issue and the issues like wind and solar and the EID tags. They are coming for you and for me. And if our states do not speak up against this and have our voices be heard in Washington, this might just all be rammed down our throat from the federal level.
Absolutely. I know we've had this talk many times, Carla. Washington, D.C. is corrupt. It's a dark place. There's light here too. But you were willing, you and John were willing to enter the belly of the beast to tell the story of the South Dakota people who have fought so hard to secure their private property rights. You're in the middle of a campaign running for governor and lieutenant governor, but you mentioned states' rights. And what does that mean to you? And if you and John secure this position, how would your focus be towards, you know, sizing down government and really focusing on bolstering those states' rights of South Dakota against the heavy hand of the federal government?
Yeah. Well, you know, the more money that you take from any institution, including the government, the more there's going to be strings attached. And so I would like to see, along with Speaker Hansen, that we get less dependent on the federal government. But as long as all of these incentives are out there, it's very difficult to have the free market operating in such a way that it's going to let individuals in our states really go forth and do the things that they need to do. If there's not a level playing field, though, that just doesn't work.
Right.
And so we want to see states' rights protected. And we certainly would be an advocate for that.
The quiet part out loud is, quite frankly, the free market. Free market capitalism, like good businesses thrive, quit propping up certain industries, and let the taxpayers keep their money.
Absolutely.
Well, Carla, any parting words before we wrap up this segment?
Well, I would just encourage all of you again, if you could raise your voice on behalf of the people of not only South Dakota, but across this nation, and especially you that are affected by the 45Q tax credit. This is one final chance to try to get this out of this Senate bill, the big, beautiful bill. Again, many other good things in this bill, but that is going to continue to push projects like that that really should exist outside of a tax credit. If they want to do their business, go ahead and do the business. Let people say yes or no, thank you, and get involved in the free market. But in order for people to incentivize with a 45Q tax credit, it's not a level playing field, and they shouldn't be using our taxpayers to do that. So call your senators and encourage them to claw back this 45Q tax credit out of the big, beautiful bill.
Absolutely. One last question. Back to the campaign trail tomorrow. What do you have planned for the upcoming week?
Well, you know, we've got a lot of things planned, and especially even in the long term, we've got many parades coming up. We're going to be at the Stock Growers at the RCAF convention out west. And so we're really excited about what's in store. And if you would like us to come to your town or your neighborhood, or if you have a special event, please reach out to our legislative emails and we certainly will get back to you, or go to our campaign page.
Absolutely. And Carla will be a featured speaker on June 13th in Aberdeen, South Dakota at our Landowner Victory Party, because although the fight continues, we have stacked up many, many wins in this grassroots movement. It's worth pausing to celebrate. So it's open, yes, to all, prime rib, all the fixings, yes, even be a DJ. And Carla will be speaking,
yep, of course. Hope to see you there June 13th in Aberdeen.
Absolutely. Thank you, Carla.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it. You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here, and I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60-plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt Minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKEY to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
And we're back for the final segment of the Heart of Rural America podcast, reporting live from Washington, D.C. It's our final day in the big city. We're ready to get back home to the ranches in South Dakota. Our final guest for this episode is Senator Mark Lopke from the beautiful town of Leola, South Dakota. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me back. It's been a while.
Are we tired?
You know, not too bad. Not a lot of sleep, a lot of walking, a lot of work, long days, but it's sure been worth it.
Now, you come from a farm and ranch in Leola, South Dakota. Population what?
430.
And you are a first-term senator in your first year of your term of service. This is your first time to Washington, D.C.
Yep, very first time to Washington, D.C. Similar as to 4 years ago was my very first time at the Capitol in Pierre, someplace that I never anticipated on going, never thought it would come to this point. But here we are. We've come a long ways. It's been a very big issue. We've gained a lot of traction, got a lot done, and only to come to find out that it became endangered, what we all accomplished in the state of South Dakota via the passage of HB 1052. Became in jeopardy with the federal government. But it's because of all that work that the South Dakotans carried out and accomplished that this has now become a national issue. And it's really given South Dakota a placeholder status to accomplish some good, and we have.
Absolutely. Well, before we dive into that, I just want to say, as a first-term senator, not only have you got off the bench to serve because of this issue, right? I mean, the farm was being threatened along with so many of your friends and family and people you cared about across the state of South Dakota, but you've gotten yourself pretty active in the Senate. Can you tell a little bit about what committees and groups and things you're on in the Senate? Like, what aren't you on at this point? But
well, you know, when I first entered into this arena, I anticipated it being about a 3 month a year job, you know, during session, and then you could go back the remainder of the 9 months and live out a normal life until you had to go back to session. I was fortunately placed on the Appropriations Committee. That's one of the workhorse committees of our legislature. It meets every day for 4 hours and sometimes for another couple in the afternoon, and it also carries on through the remainder of the interim over the summer, fall, winter. And so we'll be meeting multiple times with that. I was also placed on the Government Operations and Audit Committee, which meets several times over the interim as well. Governor Larry Roden appointed me to the Prison Task Force in the state of South Dakota, where we're in the process of determining a new location and a better facility for a prison in the state. I'm also on an Ag Land Advisory Task Force as well, too, as, you know, unfortunately, one of the things that I've discovered, our legislature is underrepresented when it comes to folks in agriculture. That's something that has changed over time. The makeup used to be a lot more ag-oriented. We don't have that anymore. That's something that I would like to see improve, because ag sure deserves an independent voice.
Hear that, everybody? Senator Lopke says, if you're a farmer and rancher, it's time to run for office. We need your voice in Pierre and across the nation in any capacity that you can serve. Now, there's a lot of questions I have about the different committees you're on, but being on appropriations has kind of allowed you to see kind of how the sausage gets made, so to speak, then the dollars and cents. So going into this trip to Washington, D.C., this Budget Reconciliation Act, I guess as an appropriator, how did you look at this whole bill in terms of fiscal responsibility and just the massive amounts of spending that we're doing coming from Congress?
Well, you know, it's a particularly interesting situation with the Budget Reconciliation Act, because President Trump had instilled the DOGE department to hope create some efficiencies and streamlining of government spending and rein some of that back in. And a lot of that was accomplished effectively. However, with the advent of the Budget Reconciliation Act, all of a sudden it appeared that there was going to be even more spending. A lot of it was cleaned up in the Budget Reconciliation Act as well. A lot of the Green New Deal credits were removed as far as wind, solar, electric vehicles. And unfortunately, it's the 45Q that seems to be the sticking point, the one that I would particularly like to see go. But it also increases the debt limit. And, you know, currently we're at a $37 trillion deficit in the United States of America. And one starts to wonder, you know, when is the well going to run dry? Mm-hmm. How far can we go before we would actually fall off a fiscal cliff? While there's some similarities to our state appropriations process, this is on a much, much, much grander scale. And the dollar figures are so astronomical that, I mean, it was a 1,600-page bill by the time it was said and done. Our state budget of the G bill, I mean, that was only about 30. So, you know, the numbers are a lot bigger. Obviously, it's on a lot bigger level. There's some similarities. There's some differences. But at the end of the day, I would like to see the spending come down in both arenas.
Yeah. I don't know if you have any comments on this, but I'll comment on it. It's been wild. We're not going to forget this trip because as the Trump Elon Musk fight has been playing out online, on the news, in interviews, and in tweets on X, we've been here living it. Like, it's hearing people chatter about it in the Capitol, in the restaurants we're at, it seems like everybody's watching kind of that dialogue play out. Any comments on that, or just it's been quite something?
You know, just walking around the Capitol, walking around the Senate and representatives offices, everybody's talking about it. It appears to be, you know, quite the big deal. Where it's all going to shake out remains to be seen. There's sure a lot of chatter. You're getting an Uber, you're getting a taxi. That's the first thing that they want to talk about. So everybody's pretty well dialed in out here.
Yep. And really, I mean, Elon's message is he's helped to make all these tax cuts. And yet this bill, this big, beautiful bill, is pretty sizable. It's huge. And so I think that lends itself to what we were focusing on is this 45Q, is that we are spending billions, if not trillions of dollars to fund the Green New Deal, to bury plant food, to really add to our national debt for what? For literally what? And so I think it's a pretty reasonable ask to say we don't think that the taxpaying citizen should have to pay the write the check for projects of this ilk. I guess that's not even a question. That's just me grandstanding, Senator.
But well, I do have a response to okay. that because, and it does pertain to fiscal responsibility. Currently, the 45Q pays out about $30 to $40 billion or annually. With all the proposed projects across the country going on with carbon sequestration, it's going to rise into the high hundreds of billions of dollars per year within the next dozen or so years. And there's also a proposal out there by Senator Murkowski out of Alaska that would ban that tax credit from $85 a ton currently to $250 a ton. Mm-hmm. So one is able to surmise that now all of a sudden we're talking multiples of trillions. And that's with the proposed projects, which could take us into the, you know, tens of thousands of miles of carbon pipelines and sequestration sites across the country. But if you get out into 2050, where they're speculating that there could be upwards of 100 or more thousand miles of carbon pipelines, you start plugging those figures into that. And all of a sudden, you're getting into multiples upon multiples of what our entire federal budget is for each year. And so it's like, there again, how are we possibly going to afford this? What are we accomplishing by doing it? It just seems a little crazy.
A little crazy. And all we're really advocating for is, I don't know, common sense and conservatism, limited government, fiscal responsibility. Not that wild of an ask, if you ask me. Now, Senator, tell me what's next, because kind of the general consensus from our Senate meetings, especially with Senate Majority Leader Thune, was that there really was not really not much of an appetite to address the 45Q, but he was very confident that federal preemption for eminent domain use and CO2 pipelines would not come back. However, we're not out of the woodworks yet. Could you talk procedurally what happened? So it's going to have a vote on the Senate side, but can you talk about if it does get kicked back to the House? What happens there? What's the process?
Well, the process is similar to the process that we have in our state legislature in South Dakota. The bill originated in the House of Representatives. You know, they went through it and put it through the meat grinder and came out with a finished product that passed on a very thin margin. The bill then moved over to the Senate. The Senate's going to take approximately the next 2 weeks to work their way through it, and they're going to make changes on it. The bill then has to go back to the House. There's a couple options. The most likely option is that they're going to want to take it to the floor and get it passed right away and get it signed. That's probably the most likely direction. If there's not concurrence amongst the House of Representatives, it then would have to go to a conference committee between the two chambers, the Senate and the House, and they would have to work out their differences, and then each chamber would have to vote on it prior to it being signed.
And so with all that in mind, I guess, what would the call to action be for all the people at home? And I'm not just talking South Dakota, really across the nation. What is the call to action here if you're specifically worried about private property rights and carbon sequestration pipelines?
You know, the call to action here is everything that is in the Budget Reconciliation Act bad. No, there's a lot of good in there that will do a lot of good for our country and our nation yep. and our states. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to protecting property rights, the whole crux of the matter is that if the 45Q was not exist, and they weren't chasing that almighty dollar, we wouldn't be dealing with a lot of the violations of these property rights. So when it comes to carbon sequestration and protecting property rights, the call to action is to be specific. Contact your congressman and let him know specifically that you would like to see the 45Q tax credits removed.
Absolutely. And we appreciate everyone back home getting to work. Your calls and emails are being noticed out here in DC. Want to switch gears here as we have just a few minutes left of the show, but another hot topic of conversation out in Washington, DC this week has been the Angus Foundation and their partnership with Jeff Bezos. You and I both raise Angus cattle. This has been something we're watching closely. Of course, my good friend Chris Earle has been promoting this and has been a whistleblower on it. There's a petition out there to ask the Angus Foundation to return that $4.53 million gift from the Jeff Bezos and methane hub. I think it's at 3,000 plus signatures at this point. But as an Angus cattle rancher's perspective, I guess, what's your view on this? You're a commercial operator, cow-calf guy. By the way, he's calving right now and he's out in DC instead of watching for new calves. What's your perspective on this partnership?
Well, it's just completely what was going to happen in the beginning once you went down the avenue of caving to this climate mitigating circumstances in exchange for money. I remember it was March 25th of 2022 when the PUC held their initial round of public hearings in Aberdeen, South Dakota. And when I got up to speak, I spoke to the fact of how bending the knee to carbon dioxide was only going to open up the door to the next one on the table, and that was methane emissions. Mm-hmm. They say that the number one emitter of methane emissions is the oil and gas industry. Followed closely by that is number two is the livestock industry. Well, that's something that my family's made its living, you know, since the beginning of our farm, since we homesteaded here, you know, 150 years ago. And it just seems like if we're going to do this with carbon, and now we come after it with methane, mm-hmm. it's going to put at jeopardy and peril the ability for family farms and ranches to survive, because they're going to want to put an index score on it, similar to what they did with the ethanol plants, except this will be pertaining to methane. Mm-hmm. And if you're not able to harness that, you're going to end up getting paid less. And ultimately, if you're going to not abide by it, you're not going to be able to sell your product. Mm-hmm. And with what's going on with the American Angus Association, that's troubling to me in the manner of, I mean, nobody can create something better than God. And he created those animals to digest that and run through their rumen. Do they release methane? Sure. But it's a natural process that I believe is not very harmful to the environment. And to try to, in fact, play God and change their physiology in a manner that causes them to do that less, how is that going to affect our product? You know, the American cattleman's got so much to be proud of that we do put the best product on the plate in the entire world. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to mess around with that, that might not be the case anymore. We'll lose our competitive advantage. And well, quite frankly, cattle people are some of the proudest people that I've known, that I've, you know, met throughout all this process. And that's very much a way of life that I want to see remained intact.
Well, and a tiger doesn't change its stripes, right? So Bezos has made it abundantly clear where he stands in animal agriculture and giving up that data, that DNA, the genetics of these Angus cattle, and giving it to someone who, no matter what you do, you will never be green enough for these people that don't want you to be in business at all. It's like my fight with animal rights activists. You think you can get to the table, and because you're reasonable and you come at it that maybe you would be willing to compromise. Well, they might take an inch now, but they really want a mile. And it's the same with these climate change extremists. We don't need to speak their language. The market outside of government subsidies that are incentivizing this nonsense, the market, the consumer, is not asking for this at all. And so to speak their language, to even acknowledge the premise that cattle are a problem as it relates to the climate, it's going down a pathway of our own demise. And so at some point, the American cattle rancher has to just stake his flag in the ground and say, this is who we are. We are proud of it. We're a success story. We're not going anywhere. The entire world covets the beef that we raise here. We're going to keep doing what we're doing because we know we have the land. We know we have the livestock. We have all the leverage in the world as long as we don't give it up to somebody else. I guess I'd encourage you all to go check out that petition. I will provide that in the link below or in the comments of the show notes. But I guess, Senator Lopke, parting words. We've got to head to the airport. Carla, you and I are headed, or the last stragglers here in D.C. ready to get back home. I guess any final words to close out the show?
Well, I think the final words that I would say, you know, when this process all started, I met so many people that we were all just kind of wandering around aimlessly. We were entering into something that we had never tried to take on before and all kind of shared the sentiment of, you know, I can't do anything about it. But I just want to appreciate the perseverance of the good folks back home in South Dakota, because so many stuck with it. Hardly anybody ever fell off, and it only continued to gain steam and momentum. And it was that coming together of people that was able to accomplish big things that had implications far beyond the borders of the state of South Dakota. This has affected our country. We've met with representatives and senators that specifically stated South Dakota was the impetus in all of this. Mm-hmm. And so the bottom line is, if you have something that you feel strongly and passionate about, you can make a difference. Mm-hmm. You just have to stick with it.
Absolutely. And I guess just final thought as we get ready for this landowner victory party. You and Ed Fischbach, almost four and a half years ago now, you guys were the beginning of this. This thing is huge now, and it grows bigger by the day as more and more people learn about the attacks on their life and liberty and their private property rights and their American dream at the hand of, you know, corporatists that want to take what's not theirs. Guess what does this celebration mean to you after all these years, all this fighting, all this bringing together people who come from very different ways of life, by the way, very different, a lot of differences and personalities in this huge group of the landowners. What does this mean to you to come together and just take a moment to celebrate in the middle of the fight?
It's kind of like a coming home party.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, because I've gotten so busy as of late, I'm gone from home an awful lot more than I'd like to be. I don't get to talk to a lot of the folks that I've met along this process. And that's probably been the very best thing about all this. I've met so many good people that I never thought I would. Mm-hmm. I know so many of them are going to be there. And for once, get together that we're not talking about a meeting where our heads on the chopping block and we have to be worried that this is going to have a lot lighter feel and a more happy feel to it. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to.
I'm pretty excited too. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be, it's just going to be a great celebration, just to pause to appreciate the people who really have become family. I mean, your family, we have stood together, locked arms together, and fought the good fight, and we are leading the way. I truly believe that as other states are starting to pay attention to what we've done in South Dakota, and as they face their own fights, what they can do to emulate what we've done here and find success as well in their own challenges. So with that, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm Amanda Radke for the Heart of Rural America podcast. If you enjoyed this content, be sure to subscribe, leave a comment, and a review, and stay tuned till next Wednesday when a new episode drops. Take care.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the Heart of Rural America.